Everybody, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we'll start, Ephesians chapter 5. But we're going to look at many different scripture passages today, as we always do. I want to encourage you to lean in. If you're a guest, we encourage our members here to take notes so that they can go back to their notes during the week and look at what's going on. And taking notes helps engage you in this time. And I promise you, if you will take notes, it'll make the time go by faster, all right? My preaching will be better if you take notes. And again, you can refer to it later on during the week as you're having your time alone with the Lord. We are continuing our Reset series, and we have two more weeks, this week and next week. And then we're gonna begin a message series out of the book of Ephesians. I'm very excited about just uncovering and looking in depth at this prison epistle, as it's called, from the Apostle Paul. And so we'll spend 13 weeks in the book of Ephesians. But today we're tackling what we're calling the fifth must answer question of 2025. Can you believe we're already a month and a half into 2025? And we've been answering these must answer questions. And the question that we're answering today is a question that, as a pastor, I get asked this question in some form or fashion, in one way or another, more than any other question. Someone comes in to visit, there's a choice that is before them, there's a decision that they need to make, there's a fork in the road, so to speak, and they need to know what direction they need to go, and they are asking what I'm calling the title of this message today: how can I know God's will? Now, again, all of us have asked this question at one time or another. It's college chapel season at different universities, and I have the privilege of traveling around in the fall and the spring to many different colleges and being able to be with their student bodies. This past week, I was in Nashville at Lipscomb University speaking to their college students. This next week, I'll be at the Harvard of the South, Wichita Baptist University, preaching to their student body, and always enjoy going into these environments and teaching God's word. And you know, with college students, many of them are wondering, okay, what major do I need to study? Or they're deciding, maybe they're graduating and they're asking, where do I need to move? What company do I need to work with? What organization should I be interviewing with? We have juniors and seniors here, and they're beginning to ask this question: what college should I go to? Any sincere follower of Jesus wants to know and do the will of God. We ask this question: who is it that I should marry? Are we supposed to have more children? Is now the time to retire? Do I make this move professionally, or do I wait? These are all important questions. And so, how do you know God's will? Is it possible to even discern what He wants from you? Do you remember in the 90s, all right? I'm dating myself here, back when the malls were popular, all right? I'm all about bringing back some good malls. But you would walk through the malls in the 90s, and you couldn't go past an art store without seeing what they called magic eye art. You know what I'm talking about? It's on the screen for you. They sold them in postcards. People were buying them up. And what happens is, if you stare at the image long enough, right, if you focus hard enough, then a hidden image will come off of that screen, and you'll be able to see it clearly. You remember this? Now, if you look at this image clear, if you stare at it, there's supposed to be a big boat that just comes off of it. Is anybody seeing it? No, you're not, because I don't know what comes off of it, all right? I have no idea. I've tried. I don't know what image is supposed to come out of there, but it's supposed to be one. And I think sometimes this is how we view the will of God. You know, like, we have to work to find it. You got to really focus in, or you'll miss it. And maybe you're like me. I mean, you stare it down, you're looking at it, but that image never comes off the page. You think something's wrong. Like, what's wrong with my focus? I guess the only people that can see God's will or discern God's will are the super spiritual. Why can't I seem to discover or know, or at a very minimum, be confident that this direction I'm going is the will of God? If you've ever felt this way, then today's message is for you. Now, I want to make three big points here at the beginning, and then we'll do some things at the end that brings it all together as it relates to knowing and doing God's will, okay? First is this. Write this down if you're taking notes. God's will can be known and obeyed. God's will can be known and obeyed. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul's writing, and he says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Later on in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, he instructs bondservants to do the will of God from their heart. If we could not know God's will, we would never be instructed to live by it or to seek to understand it. The will of God can be known and obeyed. Listen to 1 John 2, verse 17. The Bible says the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Jesus said in Mark chapter 3, verse 35, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." So very clearly, God's will can be known and obeyed. However, there are several qualifications we need to make if we are going to know God's will and do God's will. And so I want to give you these qualifications within this point, and I want it to serve as a checklist, if you will. Now, I am very leery of giving checklists in church, all right? Because if you are a legalist like me, if you are a recovering Pharisee, you will do that checklist all day long. And if you're not careful, outwardly you'll do the checklist, but you'll neglect what's inward, right? Jesus said of the Pharisees, "Man, the outside of the cup and dish look clean, but inside, you're dirty, you're filthy." So I'm gonna give this checklist. I'm gonna call this qualifications of knowing and doing the will of God. But truly, if you can't check this off, I don't think you will ever know or do the will of God. These qualifications have to be in line if you're gonna know God's will and do God's will. Qualification number one is you must be saved, okay? You must be born again. Only children of God will long for and do the will of God. The desire to know God's will, do God's will, it is planted in us at the moment of salvation when God gives us his Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural person, the person who hasn't trusted in Jesus, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God for their folly to him, foolish. It doesn't make sense. He's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. In order to understand the things of the Spirit, which includes the will of God, it makes sense that one must be born of the Spirit. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus in a personal way, you may be wondering, is it God's will for me to be saved? Does God desire that I be born again, born of the Spirit? And the answer is absolutely. God desires you to be in a relationship with him. He wants you to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. Some translations, not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God desires every single person in this room watching me online, God desires that you be saved and then that you grow in your salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, "For this is the will of God." What is it? Your sanctification. You growing in your relationship to be more like Jesus. In order for us to know and do the will of God, we must first humble ourselves before him and receive him into our life and become children of God. To know and do the will of God, you have to be a child of God. And you're not a child of God just by being born physically into this world. You become a child of God when you receive him by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So qualification number one to knowing and doing God's will, you must be saved. Qualification number two, you must be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. You know, it is possible to be saved but not surrendered. It's possible to be in a relationship with God but live on your own terms. Do your own thing. We call this old school church word backslidden. And Christians, if you follow Jesus for any amount of time, you know what it's like to live in a state of being backslidden. Like, you can know God's will, but a backslidden Christian isn't going to do God's will. There may be flashes of good deeds, but you won't constantly and continually bear fruit if you're not constantly and continually, John 15, abiding in the vine. The only way we will do the will of God in a continual and consistent way is to be totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit and His work in our life. I told you before that my Sunday school teacher, when I was in the seventh grade, took me for the first time and a group of my friends through the workbook, Experiencing God. It's an incredible workbook that I've returned to time and again in my spiritual growth as I've matured as a believer. Right now, I meet with a guy every single week and we go through Experiencing God. And the subtitle of this book is called Knowing and Doing the Will of God. It's written by Henry Blackaby and Claude King. Listen to this statement that Henry Blackaby makes, because he makes the point in this workbook that God uses normal people, but the qualifier is they're surrendered to the Holy Spirit. He said, the truth is, he, God, is able to do anything he pleases with one ordinary person fully consecrated to him, fully surrendered to him. Don't just look for God to reveal his will so that you can decide whether or not to do it. He said, look for him to reveal his will so that you can do it. That's a surrendered life. God, you show me the way, and that's what I'm going to do. Rights off of my life. God, you own all that I am. Your will over mine. Sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? In the garden, not my will be done, but yours be done. God, I want what you want. No one who is, if you are not fully surrendered to the Lord, you will never pray that prayer. God, I want what you want. Your will be done. Only the one who's fully surrendered to the Lord, fully surrendered to the work of the Holy Spirit, will pray that prayer. It reminds me of Paul's words in Galatians 2:20, where he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in order to know and do the will of God, qualifications must be in. We must be saved. We must be surrendered to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called our counselor, our guide. He comes alongside us and he speaks to us in that still small voice. And this leads to the third qualification, because what is he going to speak? Number three is you must be submissive to the word of God. I've got a book in my library by the title, The Will of God is the Word of God. It's a great title, and it's a statement of truth. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, 99.999% of the times that he speaks to us, it's not going to be anything new. It's going to be him reminding us of his word. 99.999% of the time, the Holy Spirit is just going to remind us of what's already been spoken in the word of God. Again, it's not like magic eye art, where you have to focus, you have to concentrate, or you're never going to see it. God's word is in the black and white. I mean, his will is his word. Listen to God's word, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Spelled out pretty plainly right there. Will of God is for me to give thanks in all circumstances. Good times, bad times. Sicknesses, illnesses, highs, lows, we're to give thanks. What about 1 Peter 2:15? Again, in black and white, the will of God is the word of God. For this is the will of God. It tells us plainly, what is the will of God? That by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. What's the will of God? That we do good. And as you study God's words, you see this is in the context of Peter urging believers to live as sojourners, exiles. This world is not our home. And so therefore, we're to submit to authority. We're to not live on the passions of the flesh. We are to do good. Oftentimes, when we pursue God's will, it's going to look very different than the world. God's will is oftentimes going to push us, prompt us, promote a way that does not equate to the world's standards. And we get all of this from being in God's word. We'll look at this in a moment in greater detail, but Paul in Romans 12, do you remember what he says? He said, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Look at verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. By testing, we'll talk about this test here in just a minute. You can discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so, how are we able to discern the will of God that is good, acceptable, and perfect? We renew our mind. Where do we renew our mind? In the truth of God's word. Knowing the will of God, doing the will of God only happens when we come under the word of God and live by its authority. I cannot stress this enough. Knowing and doing the will of God will not happen apart from being submissive to the word of God. This is what the Holy Spirit takes and uses to show us the way and to guide us in the choices that we make each day. Qualification number 4. You must be surrounded by wise counsel. I could give you verse after verse. I'll just give you one, Proverbs 11, 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. See, we need to be saved, surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and submissive to the word of God. But we also need people in our lives who are saved, surrender to the Holy Spirit and submissive to the word of God, who can share with us, pray with us, affirm us, and encourage us. Sometimes we need wise counsel, right? We've got a decision before us, a choice. We've got a direction that we've got to take. And so we need to gather with friends. And as long as they are saved and surrendered to the Holy Spirit and submissive to the word of God, chances are they're not going to tell you what you don't know. They're just going to affirm what you already know if you're saved and surrendered and submissive. But we all need friends like this. And I can't make this point without encouraging you that if you're not in a life group, you got to get in a life group. You got to break the big church down into small groups where you can go life on life and you can celebrate life's victories and go through life's defeats. And you can have people speaking the truth in love, and you can have people sharing prayer concerns and wisdom from life that they walked in. This is wise counsel, surrounding yourself with wise counsel. These qualifications will help you know and do the will of God. It can be known and obeyed. Secondly, God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. We just read that in Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Look at verse 2, Romans 12. It'll be on the screen. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Underline those phrases. If you write in your Bibles, underline them, put a star by them. The word good means excellent or honorable. The will of God is excellent and honorable. It's holy good. It's acceptable, means it's well-pleasing. It's perfect, it's complete, it's mature is another way this word is translated. Now, this needs to be highlighted here. God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Notice what it does not say about God's will. Notice it does not say God's will is safe, easy, or comfortable. Doesn't say any of those things. I think sometimes when we're confronted with a task that seems a little bit too steep, God, the Holy Spirit, drops an ask in our heart that seems like it's gonna be a little bit too tough, get us out of our comfort zone. We think, oh, this can't be from God, no way. Don't be so sure. Sometimes the will of God is difficult. Sometimes the will of God is outright dangerous. It comes with a cost. About a year ago, we put out a video series on our Right Now Media called Trite Not True. It's gonna be my third book project. I'm working on it right now. And all it is sayings that sound good from a Christian perspective, but aren't true at all. And one of those sayings is, you're never more safe than when you're in the will of God. Baloney, all right? Are you kidding me? Sometimes the most dangerous place you can be is in the will of God. I mean, you ask Daniel. He was right in the middle of God, and he was in the middle of a lion's den, right in the middle of the will of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right in the middle of the will of God, doing exactly what God wants them to do, and they're in the middle of a furnace. Job, right in the middle of the will of God and lost everything. John the Baptist, Jesus said, no man was born greater of a woman than John the Baptist, right in the middle of God's will, making a way for the Savior, and he's beheaded. Paul, who wrote Romans right here, would eventually be beheaded for his faith, right in the middle of God's will, and it cost him his life. Jesus, right in the middle of the will of the Father, and yet he went to the cross to be crucified. God will, he may call you at times, probably will call you at times, to get out of your comfort zone. It's a way that he tests our faith. He may call us to sacrifice. It may cost us something, probably will, maybe even involve suffering, but in the middle of God's will, although it may not always be safe, God is right there with us. In fact, Jesus promises, listen to this promise in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 as it relates to the will of God. Now may the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, look at this, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, even if it costs. Jesus is right there with you, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God will be the opposite of safe, comfortable, and easy. Again, this is how God strengthens our faith, develops our faith muscle. So notice this about the will of God. God's will can be known and obeyed. It is possible. Follow those qualifications. Secondly, God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. His will is the best way to go. Number three, God's will is more about who you are than what you do. Now, this is very important, especially as it involves the gray areas of life, what is not explicitly spelled out in Scripture. For some, I think this point right here may be the most freeing part of the message today. When we think about God's will as humans, more often than not, we think about directions we should take, choices that we need directions we need to go in, choices that we need to make. We think about what we need to do. And as we mentioned, doing the will of God is very important. But in Scripture, what you see more often than not as it relates to God's will is not so much what we're to do, but who we're to be. It has to do with our character. Because God knows if our character's in the right place, he can trust us to be in the right place and to do the right thing. I was talking to my daughter Kelsey about this. She was asking me what I was preaching today, and I said, the will of God. And she said she was listening to J.P. Pakluta, who's a preacher buddy of mine in Waco, and she's been listening to a podcast or a sermon, and she gave this statement. I said, dang, that's good. Send that to me. I'm putting that in the sermon. And so J.P. says this, God cares more about the how and why more than the what and the where. And it's true, because the how and the why has to do with our character. It has to do with our motive. It has to do with what's going on the inside. And when it comes to the will of God, he has much more to say about our character development and faith more than what we do in life. And so here's what I'm going to do. As we begin to land this plane, all right? Now, we ain't landing yet, all right? We're circling the runway. Well, but as we begin our descent, okay, I want to give you a statement that's going to encapsulate everything that I've already told you. Then I'm going to give you three verses that will help you test, discern the will of God. And then I'm going to do some drawing right here on our whiteboard to close out our time together that hopefully ties it all in a bow, okay? Here's the statement. If you are saved, surrendered to the Holy Spirit, submissive to the Word of God, and surrounded by friends that are, same thing, all right? Saved, surrendered, and submissive. Do whatever you want, and you will be in the will of God. That's a big statement. You say, okay, Pastor, what about decisions or choices that are not explicitly spelled out in Scripture? They're not in black and white. I get that God's will is about my character development, about my faith. But what about this decision to move my family or to take this job opportunity or to marry this person or go to that college? What about these type of decisions? How can I know I'm doing the will of God as it relates to those things? Well, go back to the statement. If you're saved, surrender to the Holy Spirit, submissive to the Word of God and surrounded by friends that are as well, then do whatever you want and you will be in the will of God. Let me give you three verses to test, Paul said, discern what the will of God is. First verse, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And I want you to highlight, underline, star that word love. Second verse, 1 Corinthians 10, 31. I'm telling you, this is about to set some of you free. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Underline, highlight that phrase, glory of God. Hebrews 11, 6, third verse. This is how you test to discern the will of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So let's say you've got a gray area in your life. You don't know what to do. A decision is before you, a fork in the road, a choice you've got to make, and you don't know what to do. I want you to recall that statement. If you're saved, surrender to the Holy Spirit, submissive to the Word of God, and surrounded by friends who will help you on that same journey, make whatever decision you want to make, do whatever you want to do, and you're going to be in the will of God. Some of you are going, but I just want to be sure. So you're going to write down those verses, and you're highlighting what we said first is a love for God. You are going to live for the glory of God, and you're exhibiting faith in God. So as you're confronted with this decision, is this the will of God? This is what you have to look at. As I make this decision, as I make this choice, am I surrendered? Am I submissive? Am I saved? Surrounded by friends who are? And am I motivated by, is what's driving me, the love for God, the glory of God, and faith in God? Because this is the language that God speaks, faith. So let's just take, where do I go to college, all right? Most of us see God's will like it's a bullseye over here. That's a bullseye, all right? Best I can do. And we think of God's will being right here. If I don't hit right in the middle of that bullseye, then I'm going to be outside of the will of God, and I've got a choice. I mean, I got A&M, I got UT, I got Baylor, I got all these schools want me. How do I know what's right in the middle of God's will? Well, you take that statement that we gave, You look at this funnel. What is your you love of God, glory of God, faith in God. And then you make the decision. Don't think, oh man, well, Texas is right here. Texas A&M, it'd be like way over here. Should I keep going? Baylor, you know, Oklahoma, Wichita, you know. All right, so here's what happens. Where do I go? All right, you could do the same thing with the person I marry. I mean, I like her, we got things in common, I'm attracted to him or her, that's always a positive, all right, all these things, but is this the person? I mean, this, you know, marriage is not the princess and the frog, man, it's not Cinderella, all right? God doesn't have just one person, well, golden person out there for you at all. No, what happens is you look to the left or to the right, and if that person is running after Jesus and you're attracted to him, y'all get along and there's a friendship there, marry that person, all right? So what I'm saying is, what is the will of God for my life? Look, if you are you got love of God, glory of God, faith in God driving your decision, you're saved, surrendered, and submissive, and you say, I'm going to A&M, look at what God does. He takes A&M and he puts it right in the middle of the bullseye. You'll be right in the middle of God's will. You say, no, I got to go to Baylor right here. Well, go to Baylor, do whatever you want, and God will make it right in the middle of his will. So you look at these areas of your life, you think, man, I'm at retirement age and we want to be near the grandkids. Do I up and move? What do I do? Are you saved? Surrendered? Submissive? Surrounded by wise counsel? Speaking to your life? What's driving you? Love for God, glory of God, faith in God? Make the decision and you'll be right in the middle of God's will. This ought to free you up as we answer this question. How can I know God's will? Again, it's not a magic eye chart. You're straining to see what's going to come out. God wants you to have freedom. He wants you to love him, live for his glory, move by faith, exhibit faith, and whatever you choose to do in life, career, college, married, you name it. You let it filter through this, and it'll be right square in the center of God's will. That's why he says all things work together for good. Those who love him and called according to his purpose. He works in you and works his plan through your life. So how can you know God's will? You see it here this morning. Love him, live for his glory, exhibit faith in him. Make the decision, and you'll be right in the center of God's will. Amen? Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.